السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. أما من خاف مقام ربه ونهى النفس عن الهوى فإن الجنة هي المأوى. سبحان ربك رب العزة أما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. When anyone is in a sense or a position of accountability, meaning that they'll be accountable for their actions, they'll be accountable for their deeds, their words, their daily routine, they become very careful. They become very careful. And the reason why all of us would become so careful is because we know that everything is being monitored. If we're at work and we have a deadline, let's say at 12:55, then at 12:55 we're going to make sure we reach that deadline. Why? Because we're accountable for it. If we don't, then our superior can say, well, your portfolio wasn't turned in on time, etc. If someone's at school and while they're studying in school, they recognize that they have to turn an assignment in by the 31st of March, then they'll work hard. They have that accountability. There's a teacher watching over them. You know, children at home, when a child is playing with his friends, perhaps he's playing basketball, something might happen, he might curse, he might say a word that's inappropriate, but then when his parents are around, he's very careful. Why? There's a sense of accountability. Anytime we are accountable for something, we become very, very careful. From the areas of accountability that we find, most of us look at things that are fodl upon us. So we're accountable for prayer, we'll make sure we pray. We're accountable to fast, we'll make sure we fast. We're accountable to give sadaqah or zakah, we'll give zakah. But when we look at these areas like salah, zakah, sawm, if we're accountable to go to hajj, we'll go for hajj. These are from the fara'id of the deen. They're from the fard acts of the deen. Now I want to make something very clear. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again, I'll continue to say it, not because I'm boasting, not because I think it's some great accomplishment, but I think it's important to understand the context of the speaker, what he's saying. Look, if you have a speaker who's undergone, if you have a person who's speaking who's been from a war-torn land, perhaps he's from Syria, and he's speaking about refugees and crises, it makes sense based upon his background, why he's so passionate. If you have a speaker who is, for example, someone who is very health conscious, then it makes sense why he's often speaking about the sunnah of eating, for example. I am someone who grew up in a family that cared a lot about education. Every family has something to it. My father's a PhD, my mother has two masters. They're very strict about education. That's how they always were. I have a master's degree. And so I mention this why. Because sometimes when I make comments about dunya, people begin to roll their eyes. But if I didn't care about dunya, I would not have gone to school. My parents would not have pushed me through school. I wouldn't, you know, wear clothes that were presentable. Dunya is important. Everyone has to understand dunya is important. The way you present yourself, the way we interact with this world is very, very important. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says something very interesting in the Quran. He says, فَأَمَّا مَنْ تَغَى وَآثَرَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا فَإِنَّ الْجَحِيمَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. As for the one who transgresses, وَآثَرَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. And what happens? He has a preference, he has a leaning, he has an inclination towards this world. فَإِنَّ الْجَحِيمَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. For that person, Jahannam is going to be their abode. Now that's not a fair statement. But then again, we can't say the Quran is unfair. So how do we reconcile this? Quran is completely fair. Allah Ta'ala does not speak in riddles. He's very upfront about things. If something's haram, He makes sure that we know. حُرِمَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَيْتَةَ وَالْدَّمَ وَلَحْمَ الْخِنْزِيرِ Allah makes us, lets us know. If something's permissible, He lets us know. If something's praiseworthy, He lets us know. So then over here, why is it that a person has an inclination towards the world that فَإِنَّ الْجَحِيمَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى For them, their abode is the hellfire. That's not a fair statement. Well, the reality is that we can't take the exact literal translation over here. We have to understand وَآخَرُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا That they are not inclinations, but all of their leanings, all of their concerns are towards the world. So when the opportunity for prayer comes, they turn the other way. When the opportunity for sadaqah comes, they turn the other way. When the opportunity to work in a position that's halal comes, they might search for another position. They begin to completely incline towards the dunya. They're not inclined towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all. The dunya was made for us to interact with. We have this dunya in front of us. So when Allah Ta'ala says, وَآثِرَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا فَإِنَّ الْجَحِيمَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى Those individuals, they're entering into the hellfire, their abode's the hellfire, because they chose the dunya over the akhirah. They chose the dunya over the akhirah. بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ أَبَقَى Your choice, your inclination, your leaning, your want is what? This world. But the hereafter, خَيْرٌ, it's better. وَأَبَقَى, it's permanent. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not hate or dislike that we incline towards dunya, meaning that we take things from the dunya. In fact, we're told to take our nasib from the dunya. We're told not to forget our portion from the dunya. That is necessary for us. But when the dunya becomes an obstacle for the hereafter, then it becomes problematic. Now how is a person able to gauge Am I leaning, am I desiring this world, or am I desiring the hereafter? So Allah Ta'ala says in four verses very clearly, وَآثَرَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا They lean, they desire more this world, فَإِنَّ الْجَحِيمَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى So for them, their actions will likely fall in suit, and what will happen, they will have the hellfire as their abode. وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ As for the one who fears the standing of in front of his Lord, or the position of his Lord, وَنَهَنْ nafsa. And then what is his act over here? What is his act over here? Now, if we look at the previous verse, فَأَمَّا مَنْ طَغَى وَآثَرَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا In tafsir, there's something called تَأْخِيرُ وَتَقْدِيمُ تَقْدِيم and تَأْخِير, it's when you take something that sometimes comes later, and you bring it earlier. So for example, when we look at the verses of the cow, in Surah Baqarah. Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تَذْبَحُوا بَقَرَةً To Musa, He says to us, Musa alayhi salam told, but Israel, Allah Ta'ala orders you to what? Slaughter the cow. Then they begin to ask questions. قَالُوا They say, اُدْعُ لَنَا Ask your Lord. And what? Ask Him what? What type of cow? The color of the cow? All these things, right? Now when these three verses occur, إِنَّ الْبَقْرَةَ شَابَهَ عَلَيْنَا وَإِنَّا إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَمُحْتَدُونَ قَالَ إِنَّهُ يَقُولُ إِنَّهَا بَقْرَةٌ لَا ذَلُولٌ تُثِيرُ الْأَرْضَ وَلَا تَسْقِي الْحَرْثَ وَإِذْ قَتَلْتُمْ What's the next verse? وَإِذْ قَتَلْتُمْ نَفْسًا فَادَّارَأْتُمْ فِيهَا وَاللَّهُ مُخْرِجُ مَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْتُمُونَ فَقُلْنَا اضْرِبُوهُ بِبَعْضِهَا Now look at this verse. This verse refers to what? The story that occurs in Bani Israel. Now to give you some background, this might take the rest of today and go into next week, so I'll make it into a series. Bani Israel, why is Surah Baqarah called Surah Baqarah? Because we love cows? Because we love steak? Why is it called Surah Baqarah? It's very simple. Bani Israel, when they were chased away by the Pharaoh, and they came. وَإِذْ نَجَيْنَاكُمْ مِنْ آلِ فِرْعَوْنَ يَسُومُونَكُمْ سُوءَ الْعَذَابِ يُذَبِّحُونَ أَبْنَاءَكُمْ يَسْتَحْيُونَ نِسَاءَكُمْ وَفِي ذَلِكُمْ بَلَاءٌ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ عَظِيمٌ When we saved you from Pharaoh and his people, why? What would they do? يُذَبِّحُونَ أَبْنَاءَكُمْ They would kill your sons. وَيَسْتَحْيُونَ نِسَاءَكُمْ They would keep your daughters alive. وَفِي ذَلِكُمْ بَلَاءٌ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ عَظِيمٌ And this was a great test from your awesome Lord. وَإِذْ فَرَقْنَا بِكُمُ الْبَحْرَ فَأَنْجَيْنَاكُمْ وَأَغْرَقْنَا آلَ فِرْعَوْنَ وَأَنْتُمْ تَنْظُرُونَ That's an important part of the verse. when we split for you the sea, وَإِتْفَرَقْنَا بِكُمُ الْبَحْرُ فَأَنْجَيْنَاكُمْ. And what did we do? We saved you. وَأَغْرَقْنَا آلَ فِرْعَوْنَ. Pharaoh and his people, what happened to them? They were drowned. وَأَنْتُمْ تَنْظُرُونَ. And you were watching it while it happened. That's very important. You were watching it while it happened. It's one thing to receive the news. What is the hadith? لَيْسَ الْخَبْرُ كَالْمُعَايَنَةِ. You know, hearing information is not like witnessing. When you witness something, you know what happened for sure. So the Bani Israel, they saw Pharaoh drown. They saw Pharaoh drown. They saw his people down. What's after that? With وَأَنْتُمْ تَنْظُرُونَ وَإِذْ وَاعَدْنَا مُوسَى أَرْبَعِينَ لَيْلَةً ثُمَّ اتَّخَذْتُمُ الْعِجْلَ. Now Allah Ta'ala then, when we brought Pharaoh, we brought Musa alayhi salam, when he was taken from Bani Israel and he was called forth, what did the people of Bani Israel do? ثُمَّ اتَّخَذْتُمُ الْإِجْلَ. That you took this calf. Now what was this calf? The Mufassirun, they speak about this. Samiri, who knows Samiri's name? According to the majority of the Mufassirun, what was his name? Musa. There was two Musas at that time. Samiri, according to the majority of the Mufassirun, I actually have never read an opinion against this, so I don't want to say all just because of my lack of knowledge, but every tafsir I've read has said Samiri's name was Musa. There's two Musas at this time. One Musa, according to Jalalain, Imam Jalaluddin Sayyuti rahimahullah wrote this part, not Jalaluddin Muhalli. According to Dr. Zuhaili rahimahullah, just passed away last year in Tafsir al-Munir, according to Mufti Taqi, Mufti Shafi, according to Tafsir Mazhari, according to, there's one more I'm forgetting, Ibn Kathir rahimahullah, what happens? Samiri was abandoned as a child. And so, the angels helped keep him alive. So he had some interaction with the angels at a very young age. Now what happened was, because of this interaction, when Musa alayhi salam was taking the people through the parted Red Sea, Jibreel alayhi salam was with them. And where the animal Jibreel stepped, some life began to sprout up. Samiri saw that. And Samiri had interactions with the angels. So he knew that this must be angelic presence. So he took the sand and he kept it within himself. When Musa alayhi salam left to go receive command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after they were saved, Samiri began to... And how long was Musa alayhi salam supposed to be gone for? He was gone 40. How long was he supposed to be gone for? 30 days. And he was supposed to fast 30 days. At the completion of 30 days, because of his own desire to present himself in front of Allah Ta'ala in the best way possible, he began to do siwak. When he did miswak, he freshened the breath of his mouth. When he went to approach Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, or however the interaction occurred, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala told him that I love the breath of the faster. And you freshened your mouth. So extend 10 more days. And so he fasted 10 more days until that smell was there. Then he went to Allah Ta'ala. In the meantime, Samiri began to tell the people, look, your Musa has abandoned you. So let me introduce for your God. So he began to call them to give their wealth. They took the gold and whatever, and they began to melt it, and he formed it into a hollow calf, ijn. Now this calf was hollow, and because of the hollowness, some sounds would come from it. Then according to many of the tafsir, that dirt that Samiri saved, he put it onto the calf, some noise began to come out of it. There's some other tafsir that mentioned the calf began to move. There's not really much support there. There might be, but I haven't researched enough to see that there's support there. But noise began to come from that calf. So people began to think, oh, this must be God. So they began to worship this calf. Now this worshipping this small cow came after the people were saved by Musa alayhi salam from Fir'aun, and sign after sign, the locusts, the blood, all those signs that existed, they saw all those signs. In fact, when they saw وَأَنْتُمْ تَنْظُرُونَ, the Pharaoh become drowned, they were still afraid he might come back. So Allah Ta'ala expelled. He threw out the body of the Pharaoh. And the Quran had mentioned that it's preserved for all of us to see as a sign. One of the reasons it's preserved is so the people of Bani Israel would stop getting caught in their own thought process thinking, what if he comes back? They see he's dead, he's not coming back. So they knew they were saved. Despite this miracle and the sets of miracles from Allah Ta'ala that they saw, they still began to worship the calf. This love for this calf was an idol, and the calf itself was an idol, and it really permeated the depths of their heart. And it really caused a lot of problems for Bani Israel. As a result, the ulama say later, much later, we find for Bani Israel, Musa alayhi salam is approached by a family. I'm sorry, by two young men. And these two young men say, our uncle was very wealthy. He's been killed by this neighboring tribe. Because he's been killed, we want the killer to come out and to tell us who killed him so we can get the blood money and retribution, and we can get the retribution from him, and naturally they would inherit the wealth because they're the only inheritors. These two young nephews were the only inheritors of that uncle. Actually, according to hadith, they killed that uncle. But they made it seem like that village killed him. And they had so much greed that even though they were going to inherit the wealth because it was a quote-unquote perfect crime and no one knew about it except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they still said not only do we want to inherit, but we want to hold these people accountable for their killing even though they didn't kill them. The two nephews killed them. So they went to Musa alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the meantime had another story occurring in a nearby area. There was a mother with a young boy. The father had passed away. The father had a very special cow. This cow he kept in the jungle, did not let it till land, did not let it do any work, and it had a very beautiful color to it. It was a very special cow. The father told the mother, if I die, point our child towards this cow when he gets older. When he sells this cow, we'll make some money off of it. That was the plan. Now, the child grows older, the child is beginning to work, but the family is going through hardship, the father has died by now. So the mother tells the child, and the mother always taught this child, you have to be honest no matter what. And always consult with me no matter what. So the child agreed. And so what the child did was went to go search for the calf, or the cow. When he found the cow, he saw, in fact, this is a cow like none other. He began to bring this cow back. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Jibreel alayhi salam. Jibreel came to him in the form of a human. I believe it was Jibreel. It was an angel for sure. And said, can I purchase this calf off of you? I will give you, I think it was 4 coins of gold. Or 10 coins of gold. It's a smaller number. So the boy said, I have to ask my mother first. So the person said, don't ask your mother. I'll give you now. You just take the money and go. The boy said no. He went back to his mother. His mother, he did shura with his mother. He consulted with her. And she agreed that yes, this is a good price to take. We'll have some money for the household. When he went back, Jibreel alayhi salam told him that in fact, I am not here to seek money. I am an angel sent by Allah to test your trust and your truthfulness and the promise you made to your mother. Do not sell this cow except for its weight in gold. So Jibreel alayhi salam left, the boy came back. Now this is happening on one side. On the other side, these two young men are making a whole show. Our uncle's been killed, we need to have justice. So what did Allah Ta'ala say? وَإِذْ قَتَلْتُمْ نَفْسًا فَادَّارَتْتُمْ فِيهَا وَاللَّهُ مُخْرِجُمْ مَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْتُمُونَ. That Allah, وَاللَّهُ مُخْرِجُمْ, He'll extract out مَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْتُمُونَ, what you thought you were hiding. Those two guys thought they were just hiding the truth. The reality is Allah knew. So what was it? فَقُلْنَا اضْرِبُوهُ بِبَعْضِهَا. We said, فَقُلْنَا اضْرِبُوهُ بِبَعْضِهَا. اضْرِبُوهُ. What's this who? So this uncle, Musa alayhi salam, was told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tell Bani Israel, this group over here, these two individuals, that fine, we will find the killer. You have to go slaughter a cow. Slaughter a cow. When you go slaughter the cow, then I'm going to take ببعضها, اضربوه ببعضها, that part of that cow too, use it to get that knowledge. So what did the Bani Israel begin to do? قالوا ادعوا لنا ربك, قالوا ادعوا لنا, how's it called? قالوا لنا
ربك
يبين لنا ما هي. And Malona has a second one. Mahi is the first one, Malona, then Mahi is the third one. So they were asking about descriptions. They're asking about color. So what they began to do is they began to try to play games with Musa alayhi salam. So Musa alayhi salam would ask Allah, Allah Ta'ala would say, look for this, look for this, look for this color, it shouldn't be dark, it shouldn't be light, it should be a goldish type color, it shouldn't have worked in the fields, it should be a cow that's always been preserved, it should be la faridun wa la bikr, shouldn't be overly old, it shouldn't be, it's all middle path, beautiful descriptions of this cow. So they kept asking until they were given a description they could not find anywhere else. Now they came to Musa and said, what do we do? We can't find a cow like this. Musa alayhi salam, and this is actually something very interesting, that when they began to play these games, Musa alayhi salam was hoping, was very upset. What's the last thing they say? Inna insha'Allah la muhtadun. Because they said, insha'Allah will be guided by this, Allah Ta'ala did not destroy them. If they didn't for their games, they would have been destroyed. So Musa alayhi salam, he said, now you have to find this cow. They began to search and search and search. They couldn't find a cow like this. Then they saw this boy with the cow. And they said, we need to purchase this cow from you. Tell us your price. The boy said, this is exactly what the angel told me. So he said, my price is what? Take this cow and give me its weight in gold in return. So Bani Israel said, no, we can't do that. He said, fine, don't take the cow. They were stuck. They said, fine, we'll take the cow. We'll take the cow. You give us the cow. We'll give you that weight in gold, which they did. So the boy and the family was taken care of. They slaughtered the cow. Then Musa alayhi salam, bi-ba'diha, according to some of the tafsir, it was with the tongue of the cow, he struck the dead body of the uncle, the body came back to life, and the uncle began to speak and say, these two nephews, they actually killed me. So then the town, not only the nephews not inherit the wealth, but they were also held accountable and killed for that killing. And this is where I have to leave off now because 8 minutes I have to pray, call down and pray sunnah. We'll stop here. I'll continue the story next week and we'll get into the actual point I'm trying to get into.